Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints, dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, and welcome to another broadcast of Jackass Bishop News. I'm so ecstatic to be on the air today. I haven't been on the air for a couple of days for a number of reasons. One is I've been allowing some of you to catch up to our previous broadcast. We've been doing a number of broadcasts and putting them out there, and we're just waiting for the saints to catch up. And we know it's the holiday season, and a great many of you are traveling, and you're with family, and you're entertaining, and you're spending time with your loved ones, and you haven't been tuning into the broadcast. So I don't want to keep doing broadcast and no one's tuning in. So I'm allowing people to catch up to the old stuff. And now that I see that you've caught up, I'm doing one today. And also, I've been busy on my end. I've been snowed in. We've had a lot of snow coming our way, and I've just been out there shoveling, and you know, shoveling is an art, because if you live where I live, where we get tons and tons of snow, you have to systematically put the snow in different places, because we expect a lot of snow in my neck of the woods. We expect a lot of snow. You have to have a game plan, if you will. And so shoveling is not just taking the shovel and just throwing the snow wherever. No, not here. We just get too much snow. And so shoveling requires great wisdom in where I live, because you get snowed in, and so you have to put the snow on different parts of your property if you want to survive the winter. And survive we do. We have a lot of work to do for the Lord, and I'm excited about the new year. By the way, I just played there in the theme. I just played there the theme of the Omen. Why the Omen? Well, because Antichrist is soon to appear. Antichrist is gonna show up at any moment. And you know what? A great many saints are asleep. A great many, many children of God have even forgotten. And why have they forgotten? Because who preaches anymore on the second coming of Christ? Who preaches on the rapture? Who preaches anymore on the end times? Who even covers 2 Thessalonians or even the book of Revelation? Who even broaches those subjects anymore? No, what is being talked about in the church today is the bishop, elevation, consecration, money, wealth transfers, cash flow, your breakthrough, your destiny. Those are the silly topics being talked about today. But what church folk don't realize is the Antichrist is at the door. Mr. 666 himself is at the door. And it's no coincidence, in the African-American church, more you can see it more clearly in the African-American church, how Satan is giving the African-American church a tremendous makeover. I mean, if there's one segment of the body of Christ, if there's one segment of the body of Christ that is really, really, really drinking the Kool-Aid and going for all of the changes that the devil wants to bring about in the church, it's that segment of the church we know as the African-American segment of the church. Boy, they are buying into it big time, big time, big time, big time. And so today I want to do a little bit of talking about Jackass Bishops, the book. I also want to talk about the new book that is soon to be released on February the 1st, Draconian Tsunami. That's the second book in the series. And so Jackass Bishops, this book is so phenomenal. So phenomenal. It has so much truth in it, so much history. And it's not boring stuff. I mean, you read it. If you're reading the book, you can't really put it down. Now, some people have to put it down because they have to go to work. But it's not the kind of book that you want to put down. And the author just did a phenomenal job talking about how everything that Satan touches via everything Satan touches by using the Roman Catholic Church as his instrument, he turns into a jackass. And the book, Jackass Bishops, is a book for the sane and the insane. What do I mean by that? Well, there's a lot of people who tune into this broadcast who I would call the sane. You're the ones whom Jesus said that Satan could not deceive. He said, Satan, it is not possible for Satan to deceive the elect. In other words, the sane are the elect. Those are the ones that Satan can't work his magic on. Those are the ones who won't drink the Kool-Aid. Those are the ones whom Satan cannot hoodwink. The sane, the mentally sane, the spiritually sane are those whom Satan will not be able to deceive. Folk like you and me. I'm not joining the Roman Catholic bandwagon. Please. You couldn't get me. You could not get me to participate in anything ecumenical. I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid. I know a pastor, a dear person. He's a dear person, wonderful person. I know he loves the Lord. Yet he's always running to and fro to these ecumenical things. And I don't get it. I tell him, wake up. Wake up. Well, in the spirit of brotherhood, well, you got to have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to tell you not to join up with Antichrist. That's as simple as that. I know the brother loves the Lord. I know he loves the Lord. But he's drinking that Kool-Aid. I'm hoping he wakes up. You know, and in Revelation 18, when the Lord tells his people, come out from among her, it means that some of his people allowed themselves to be caught up in the ecumenical movement. Some of his people have been allowed to be ensnared in the Roman Catholic Church and in what the Roman Catholic Church is doing in these last days. But the sane, the mentally sane, and a great many of you who email me every day and you're sending me stuff and we talk back and forth and we share, you're the sane. You're the ones who can see what's coming when everyone else is applauding it. You're condemning it. You see what's coming 100 miles away, and the moment you see it 100 miles away, you're saying, beware. Have nothing to do with that. That's not of God. You identify it immediately, but there are others who are insane, and they're applauding it, and they're welcoming it, and say, come on, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you to come. So the sane are those who say no thank you, and the insane are the ones that open the door. And the book Jackass Bishops was written for both. It was written for the sane and the insane. Why the sane? Well, the sane need to be encouraged. You need to know that you're not crazy. The sane need to know that they're not crazy, because since the sane are the minority, we tend to think, is it me, Lord? Am I too dogmatic? Am I too rigid? Am I too intolerant? And the Lord wants us to be intolerant of sin. Yes, the Lord wants you to be intolerant. Yes, the Lord wants you to go to war. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. The Lord Jesus brought a sword by which we are to do battle for him. So many times we who are the sane, we second guess ourselves. We say, Lord, is it me? Shouldn't I be a little bit more flexible? Shouldn't I be a little bit more accepting? Because we're in the minority, and we're scattered. We're not even together. We're scattered. We're just, you know, we listen to internet radio, and that's how we get our little messages, and we get fed by internet radio and by our little private devotions that we have at home with other sane ones like us. But we're scattered throughout the globe. We're the underground church. We're the remnant church. We are the persecuted church. Why? Because we're intolerant. While everyone else is saying, be tolerant, be accepting, love everybody, we're saying, no, we can't love everything. And we can't accept everything. And I'm not going to go with everything. And I'm not going to say amen to everything. So who are the sane? Well, let me tell you who the sane are. And I'm always surrounded by dictionaries. I have four shelves in my personal library. Four shelves just of English dictionaries, all kinds of English dictionaries. I'm always old dictionaries, new dictionaries. And I'm always looking at words and their meaning. And when I was in Bible college and seminary, I was very fascinated with a study called etymology. Etymology is the study of origins, the origin of a word, its development over the centuries, and its current usage. So when you study etymology, you're looking at three things. First of all, when the word first appeared in a particular language. Then in etymology, you want to see how the word developed. If it's an old word, if it's an archaic word, you want to see how the word developed over the centuries. If the word is 500 years old or 600 years old, well, you want to know exactly what it meant throughout its history as a word. And then finally, you want to know what the word means today. So you want to look at its origin. You want to look at its development and meaning over the centuries, and then what it means in its current usage. So I have many dictionaries on the etymology of words, many dictionaries on words and phrases, many archaic dictionaries, and of course, not just English dictionaries, but I have Latin dictionaries, I have Greek dictionaries, I have Hebrew dictionaries. I love words. So when we're speaking of the sane, when we're speaking of someone who is sane in the current usage, to be sane means to be of sound mind, to be of sound mind. It means to be in one's right mind. It means to be lucid, to be rational, to be balanced, to be stable, to be normal. Let me read those again. To be sane, according to the Oxford Thesaurus, to be sane means to be in one's right mind, to be of sound mind, to be lucid, to be rational, to be balanced, to be stable, to be normal. So I'm addressing those who are sane today. Those are the only people who tune into this broadcast. The insane want nothing to do with this broadcast. Those who are sound of mind, those who are in their right mind, those who are lucid and rational and balanced and stable and normal are the ones who tune into this broadcast. The nuts, the Kool-Aid drinkers, the junior jackasses, they don't tune into this broadcast. They don't. Those are the insane. And the reason why the book, Jackass Bishops, is such a phenomenal book, if I may say so myself, is because it is a book that helps the sane. It helps the sane double down on their sanity. In other words, when you read it, you say, thank you, Lord, for confirming that I wasn't crazy. And it allows you to double down. It allows you to get well entrenched in your doctrinal position and say, you know what? I wasn't wrong. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me. I have been hearing the voice of the Lord because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, another they will not follow. Another they won't follow. See, the sane are those who hear the voice of Jesus. Those are the sane folk. And we're sane not because we have degrees. We're sane. Not because we're special. We're saying, you and I are saying, simply because of the grace of God. God has made us his elect. And it is his elect that are stupid proof. The fact that, if it weren't for God's grace, a junior jackass today, if it weren't for God's grace, I'm not special because I have several doctorate degrees. That's not why I'm special. Because I know a whole lot of people in the church with more degrees than me, who are big time Episcopal jackasses. Big time. So the degree does not inoculate you from jackasshood. It's the grace of God. The fact that God has spiritually opened your eyes and opened your ears, that now you hear the voice of Jesus, and another you will not follow. My sheep know my voice, another they will not follow. Jesus put it this way in another message. He said, those whom the Father has given me, no man, and really there it's not a proper translation. It should really mean no thing. No man just talks about a human being, but it really in the Greek it means no thing. No angel, no demon, no devil, no mind control, no hypnotism. You see, that it's more inclusive. No thing shall be able to pluck them out of my hand. See, you're safe in the hands of God. Why? Because you're one of the elect. And that's why you don't drink the Kool-Aid. And there's Kool-Aid being served all around you. People are serving all kinds of church Kool-Aid around you, but you're not drinking it. And again, it's not because you are special in and of yourself. It's because God has done and performed a spiritual operation on you and me. And we're not Kool-Aid drinkers today, and we're not hee-hawing today because of the grace of God. You and I are sane. We are of a sound mind. We're in our right mind. We're lucid. We're rational. We're balanced. We're stable. We're normal. Only because of the grace of God. Only because of that. Only because of that. Further reason to give him praise. Further reason to lift up holy hands and thank him. And thank him because you are of sound mind. Further reason to give him some glories and some hallelujahs because you're not following the crowd. Because right now, the crowd is just thinking about how to become famous, how to make more money. That's what the crowd is thinking about. How do I become popular? But you and I, the sane, we're thinking about his return. The sane, those who are spiritually sane, those who are in tune to Jesus Christ, we cannot wait for his coming. We can't wait for him to crack the sky. The insane can care less about Jesus coming back, care less about preparing themselves. Like it says in Revelation 19, the bride, the church has prepared herself for the wedding of the Lamb. See, you and I are preparing ourselves for his glorious appearing. We're the sane. The insane can care less about his return. They don't talk about his return. They can care less about his return. They're not preparing for his return. They're preparing to buy more cars, and there's nothing wrong if you have to buy a car. By all means, go buy your car. But what I mean is they're worldly-minded. They're worldly-minded. They're worldly-minded. Thinking about themselves. Men shall become lovers of self, we were told by the Apostle Paul. Men shall love themselves. Men shall love riches, and men shall love pleasures. Those are three things they'll love. They'll love themselves, they'll become the lovers of money, and the lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God. So Those who tune into this broadcast from around the world, we're getting people tuning in from Germany, Norway, Nova Scotia. People are tuning in. And this thing is going to grow. Why is it going to grow? Because come January 2nd, when I come back on the air, I'll be back on the air tomorrow, then I'll give you a day off, January the 1st. Come January the 2nd, I'm going to lay out a plan for you for the whole year, and we're going to make this thing happen. We're going to stay on top of end time events. We're going to stay on top of what's going on in the church, how the devil is trying to infiltrate the church and leaven the church and pollute the church and contaminate the church and destroy the church. Why? Because Antichrist is about to show up. Saints, he is about to show up. The Antichrist is. That's why I was playing this music today. Now, isn't that some eerie music? Now, tomorrow at midnight, when the ball comes down on Times Square, you know how the people are all around the world, people are going to be caught up. They're going to be caught up with the New Year's celebration. They're going to be caught up with the ball coming down and the Happy New Year, and they're going to be, the corks are going to come off the bottle and you know, the noisemakers everywhere. While all of that is going on, while all of that facade is going on, down in the halls of the Illuminati, this is what you're going to hear down there. Now, doesn't that sound spooky? You better believe it sounds spooky. That is some spooky music. But that's it. Antichrist is here. Antichrist is here. He's just waiting for his moment to step into the spotlight. And so while everybody's screaming and yelling, Happy New Year, people are going to be living it up tomorrow. We're coming closer to the appearing of the Son of Perdition. And that's why Jackass Bishop is such an important book, because those of us who are sane bar sanity. Because as a group of people, we are disjointed. We're not together. I keep in contact with people by email who are all scattered throughout this country. People in Michigan, people in Milwaukee, people in Atlanta, people in California, people in Arizona. I mean, I stay in touch. And these people that I'm talking about, the sane ones, they don't even go to church anymore. They are fellowshipping in their living rooms. People you used to fellowship with, you are putting you down, calling you crazy, radical. The Kool-Aid drinkers are calling you radicals, bigots, nut jobs. They're calling you a nut job. They're the nut jobs. They're the nuts. They're the ones who are into this. Remember how the Roman Catholic Church, they love to sing Ave Maria, Ave Maria. Well, this is Ave Satani. That's right. This is Hail Satan. That's what this is. That's the theme song to The Omen, the movie The Omen. And these black bishops are so insane. Now, what do I mean by insane? Well, by insane, I mean they're mentally ill, they're certifiably deranged, they're demented, of unsound mind, out of their minds, not in their right minds, sick in the head, crazy, unhinged, disturbed, raving, psychotic, mad as a hatter. Well, brother, why do you say that? Well, because every year, or every time they can, every chance they get, the Joint College of African American Bishops makes its way to Rome. That's right. The Joint College of African American Bishops does whatever it can to make its way to Rome to have as many audiences that they can with the Pope. That's right. That's right. These African American bishops who are dressing like Roman Catholic priests, Roman Catholic prelates, Roman Catholic bishops and archbishops, who conduct their consecration services of their bishops exactly the way Rome consecrates bishops. The ceremony is one and the same. It's one and the same. The only difference is that Rome does its services or its consecrations in Latin. The black preachers don't know Latin, so they do it in English. But it's the same ceremony. It's the same. And the Joint College of African American Bishops wants to work in conjunction with the Pope and the Church of Rome, the Holy Church of Rome, mind you. That's right. They want to work in conjunction. That's why they're always chasing the Pope, wanting the Pope to give them an audience. I have many people who have told me that their bishop went to go see the Pope. I said, your bishop went to go see? Yeah. He went to go see the Pope. Then they point me to pictures in the internet, and the proof is right there. Their bishop is taking a picture with the Pope. This is an African-American bishop of a black church now in America, wanting an audience with the Pope. Now, who would seek an audience with the Pope? Who? Only the insane would seek an audience with the Pope. This is a recent clip. This is a recent clip of Pope Francis. He's conducting Mass, and in this Latin song, you're going to hear the phrase Lucifer, Lucifer. That's Latin for Lucifer. And in this song, they are declaring Lucifer God. Now, this is a Mass. This is a Mass, a Roman Catholic Mass. Who's presiding over this Mass? Pope Francis. The very same Pope that these African-American bishops want an audience with. And it is during this Mass in Latin that the Pope and the attendees to this Mass are declaring Lucifer as God. Here it is.
Lama Deus, Lucifer Matutinus inveniat, ille in quam Lucifer crescito casum, Christus filius tus, qui regressus ab inferis, humano generis serenus iluxit, et tecum vivit et regnat in saecula saeculorum.
Now, they just called Lucifer God. And the whole congregation now responds and says, amen. Can I play that for you again? Because think about it, folks. Here you have these African-American bishops making pilgrimages to Rome. As a group now, as a body, as a corpus, as a joint college, they're running, they're chasing after the Pope, hoping that he will give them an audience when they show up. And of course he's going to give them an audience because he's trying to infiltrate the black church. Now, this is the same Pope that when he conducts Mass in Latin, declares in worship now, in worship, they declare Lucifer, the Lucifer of Isaiah 14, whom God cast down to the earth, that same Lucifer, they are calling him God. Then they have the congregation say, amen. Here it is again.
Flamma Deus, Lucifer matutinus inveniat. Ille in quam Lucifer qui nescito casum, Christus filius tuus, qui regressus ab inferis, humano generis serenus iluxit, et tecum vivit et regnat in saecula saeculorum.
You want more proof than that? Now this place is packed. Why is it packed? Well, the Pope is conducting Mass. They just declared Lucifer God. And what does all the people present there, all of these people understand the language. They understand the Latin. They understand what the singer is saying. They understand what the worship leader is saying. Lucifer is God. And how do they respond? How do the so-called worshipers respond? Amen. When you say amen, when the preacher saying preaching something, you say amen, preacher. Amen. What are you saying? I agree. So the singer is saying Lucifer is God, and this whole crowd of people are saying, we agree. We agree. And this is what these jackass bishops in the black church, this is what they're joining up with. This is what they're running to join. They are running. It's like a stampede. They can't help themselves. They're stepping over each other to get to the Pope. You know how, like on Black Friday, when people can't wait for the doors of the stores to open so they can stampede and go grab something because it's going to be on sale for Christmas? Well, it's the same thing. The only thing now to stampede is a stampede to Rome. They can't wait to come under the covering of a Satan worshiper. A Satan worshiper. That's why the book Jackass Bishops is so critical. Look, folks, in the book Jackass Bishops, the author, Moses Henry Jones, talks to us about Caligula, the demented Roman emperor who ruled for 4 years. He talks to us at length about Caligula and how Caligula made his horse a high priest and how Caligula made his horse a Roman senator. Now, if you Google a map of the Vatican, if you Google a map more specifically of St. Peter's Square, you will see that right in the middle of St. Peter's Square, where you have the big sun god, you look at the diagram and it's an eight spoke sundial. It is the worship of the Babylonian sun god. Now in the middle of that eight spoke diagram, ancient Babylonian diagram of the sun god, right in the middle, you have Caligula's obelisk. The same Caligula, the same demented Caligula, who demanded that he be worshipped as a god. The same Caligula who promoted his horse and made his horse high priest. The same Caligula who made his horse a senator. The Roman Catholic Church took his obelisk. If anyone was an antichrist, it was Caligula. They took his obelisk. And his obelisk is right in the center of the sun god, right there in St. Peter's Square, the eight spoke, like an eight spoke wheel. You will see the sun god, and right in the center of the sun god diagram, if you look at it from an aerial view, you will see Caligula's. Now, what is Caligula's obelisk doing? Supposedly, in a house of worship. What is, I mean, the guy was a pervert, a pedophile. He had sexual relations with his sister. He was a murderer. He was a nut, a Roman nut. Why would the Roman Catholic Church have anything to do with, why? Because Caligula, as our brother teaches in the book, Jackass Bishops, was very instrumental in laying the groundwork, because just like he elevated his horse to become high priest and he elevated his horse to be senator, so too does the devil today elevate jackasses to the position of bishop. You can all trace it historically. You see, the book Jackass Bishops is a book for the sane. Why? Because you knew deep down in your heart that these people were wrong, but you just didn't have the information. Now that you read the book and you get the information, now you can double down and say, I knew it. That's why I never felt comfortable with this movement in the church. You can double down and say, no way, Jose, am I doing anything ecumenical. But it's also a book for the insane. It's also a book for those who have gone to Rome and are seeking out the Pope, the very Pope who declares Lucifer to be God and has the whole congregation say amen to that. It's an eye-opening book for the insane, for those who are mentally ill, for those who are certifiably deranged, demented, unsound of mind, out of their minds, not in their right minds, those who are sick in the head, those who are crazy, those who are unhinged, those who are disturbed, those who are raving mad. It is a book that will cure your madness. That's the kind of book it is. And you ought to get your copy. You ought to order your copy to get it. Just go to paganbishops.com. Paganbishops.com. Order your PDF copy. Order it. Now, here's another clip. This is the clip in the black church. Now, here's a woman that they just made a bishop. She goes by the name of Juanita Bynum. Now, Juanita Bynum is mentally ill. She is insane. She is, in my opinion, certifiably deranged. She's demented. She's out of her mind. She's not in her right mind. She's sick in the head. She's crazy. She's unhinged. She's disturbed. She's raving mad. She's as mad as a hatter. And here she is talking about how she took a picture of Jesus in one of her services. Listen to this. Listen to this nut. Juanita Bynum takes a picture of Jesus. Listen to this.
All of a sudden I was sleeping, and it sounded like somebody had about 15 bass drums, and it sounded like all of a sudden they just went boom, 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 boom. And I jumped up, and I looked around over there, right where he's sitting, and I said, what was that? I said, if somebody come in this church and get on the drums while I'm laying here in prayer and sleep, and I didn't say nothing to them. So a few hours later, he said, can I share some with you, prophet? He said, I heard a rumbling like a plane went low, and the building shook. He said, and it was over in that corner. I said, I jumped up, and I looked in the corner, and I saw the same thing. I said, I heard it too. Lisa said, I was scared to tell y'all. She said, but it sounded like a train was coming. And then literally, I kid you not, the was shaking until I thought I was having a dream. And he said, Dwayne said, when the noise stopped rumbling, God told him, pick up your camera and take a picture. And he took a picture. And will you put the picture on the screen of what came up in the picture? Of what came up in the picture? Now listen, this don't make no sense right now to you. But go to the next picture. My God, from Zion. My God, from Zion. My God, now go back to the other picture. My God, from Zion. My God, from Zion. Now go to the next picture. Now watch this. I said, God, is it you, Jesus? Did you really show up in this place? Were you really over there? Behind the drums, behind the organ. And he said to me, go and look at the shroud. Go to the next picture.
According to this nut, she claims that she was in prayer with two other people, and they heard a rumbling by the drums, big racket, big noise. And the young man that was with her took a picture because they saw a flash of light, and they took a picture, and they got a picture of a face. And then Jesus tells her, go Google. Now, Jesus tells Juanita Bynum, go get the picture of the Shroud of Turim. Now, the Shroud of Turim is a Roman Catholic scam. That's what the Shroud of Turim is. It is a Roman Catholic scam. The Roman Catholic Church claims that the Shroud of Turim is actually the burial cloth of Jesus Christ. And it has been proven to be a scam. The Shroud of Turim is a complete scam. It's a money-making scam. Now, according to Juanita Bynum, this Jesus who showed up and allowed this man to take a picture of him while he was visiting Juanita Bynum at a prayer meeting, then told her, if you don't think it's me, go Google the Shroud of Turim and put the two pictures together, and you'll see it's me. I'm going to play it for you again. Because, you see, notice the connection. Here's a woman whom they just made bishop. Who made her bishop? Well, one of the branches of the Joint College of African American Bishops made her bishop. The Joint College of African American Bishops is tied to the Roman Catholic Church. She claims that Jesus showed up and told her to go get, as proof, a picture of a Roman Catholic scam. Doesn't it sound fishy to you? Boy, it sounds more than fishy. Here it is again. Now, she's got the whole crowd. The place is packed. It's in a frenzy. Here's the bishop telling people that Jesus showed up. Well, look what Jesus says in Matthew 24. These are the words of our Savior. In Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, he says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Now, that was verse 4 and 5. Let us go down to verse 23. He says, "Then if any man say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not." Now, Juanita Bynum just told people that Jesus showed up. He allowed one of her staff members to take a picture. Then he told her, go to Google, look up the shroud. Go look up the shroud and make a comparison between the picture of the Shroud of Turim on Google and make a comparison with the picture that the young man took, and you will know that I visited you at this prayer meeting. But Jesus says here in verse 23 of chapter 24, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not." So who are you going to believe, Juanita Bynum or Jesus? I'm going to believe Jesus, because Juanita Bynum is insane. We know she's insane because she's a Roman Catholic bishop. How is she a Roman? Well, because the Joint College of African American Bishops is an arm of the Roman Catholic Church. It is an arm. Revelation 17:4 calls the Roman Catholic Church the mother of harlots. She's the mother, but she has daughter churches, daughter groups, and the Joint College of African American Bishops is one of her daughters. Juanita Bynum's insane. She's out of her mind. She's supposed to be a prophetess. She's supposed to be a prophetess of God. And she claims that Jesus told her, I was here. You got the proof. You took the snapshot on your cell phone. And when you compare it to the picture of the Shroud of Turim, which we already know historically, scientifically, it is not Jesus. It is not his shroud. But this Jesus who showed up and told her, go look up the Shroud of Turim, you'll see me. And you compare the two pictures. You compare the picture of me in the shroud, and you compare the picture of me in the cell phone, and you'll see that they're one and the same. And they're not. But that's not what's important. What's important is that Jesus said, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there he is, believe him not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Behold, I have already told you. And if they tell you, behold, Jesus is in the desert, do not go there. And if they say, behold, he's in a secret chamber, do not believe them. Don't believe them. Why? For as the lightning cometh from the east and shineth to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man. In other words, when Christ comes, every eye will see him because he's going to flash across the sky. Jesus is not on the ground. He's not in some secret chamber. He's not in some prayer parlor. Jesus is not in some prayer chapel. When Jesus comes back, you'll know he came back because he'll be up there in the sky, and it'll be like lightning. When lightning cracks the sky, everybody sees it. Everybody notices it. And not just a few. But here is a newly ordained bishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops, particularly from that group called Global United. And she's claiming that Jesus showed up, she took a picture of him, and then this Jesus told her to verify it, go check out the Shroud of Turim, which is a Roman Catholic hoax. And this chapter that I read to you out of Matthew 24, Jesus said this would happen right before Antichrist shows up. This chapter that I read to you, Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. All that is what we call the apocalyptic chapter, the apocalyptic discourse of Christ. Matthew 24 and 25 is Jesus' mini book of Revelation. So Juanita Bynum is a false prophetess. The Christ she claims she took a picture of is a demon. But we should not be shocked because she is one of the Kool-Aid drinkers. She's not only a Kool-Aid drinker, she's a certified Kool-Aid server. The woman is insane. Here's a woman who, before being consecrated bishop, confessed on radio that she's a lesbian. She's bisexual. She likes men. She likes women. She's been with men. She's been with women. And that she's done a lot of drugs. And soon after that, she gets a phone call that after she goes on Christian radio and says, I've been with men, I've been with women, I've done drugs till the cows come home. Soon after that, she gets a phone call from Bishop Neil Ellis, quote unquote, he calls himself His Grace. He's the bishop, he's the presiding bishop of Global United, a branch of the Joint College of African American Bishops, that he's going to make her a bishop. And a bishop did he make her. Soon after confessing that mess. People are insane. Now here's another guy. Here's another nut. Here's another nut who told his church. Here's another nut who told this church this year that Jesus told him to take them to a tree lighting ceremony. Listen to this. This is a bishop. A bishop. Whom also another branch, another satellite ministry, another offshoot of the Joint College of Bishops made him a bishop. And this bishop tells his church that Jesus told him to take them to a tree lighting ceremony. Listen to this.
I don't want to light the Christmas.
Now he says, I was having a conversation with him today. I'm going to pick it up right there.
I was having a conversation with him all day. And I was telling the Lord, I said, Lord, I finally give the ultimate gift that you've given me. For a season, I was a little confused because I went through the middle school. I know the middle school. I can't stop there. I'll teach you about that. I can teach you about angels. I can prophesy.
That's Mariah Carey singing her Christmas hit, All I Want for Christmas Is You. This is the video shows people getting on a big bus, a chartered bus. They're going down to the tree lighting ceremony in Detroit. And the pastor was told by Jesus, bring the people together and take them to go see this tree lighting ceremony. And that's what the Lord Jesus told them, to go celebrate the pagan lighting. This, you know, the Christmas tree is pagan, right? The Christmas tree is pagan. And Jesus told him, go take my sheep, go take my sheep to a pagan ceremony. You can't make this up. This is another Roman Catholic bishop. Another one, just like Juanita Bynum. Juanita Bynum points to the Shroud of Turim. This jackass points to a Christmas tree. And boy, do we have a lot of work to do during the Christmas holidays. We have a lot of evangelizing to do. But you don't take people to a pagan tree lighting ceremony. You don't take them to that. Jesus would never tell us to do that. Not the Jesus of the Bible. And what's going on, folks? What is going on in the background? What is actually going on in the background? This is what's going on. This is what while they're singing this. Listen, while they are singing this. See, that's what they're singing on the bus. That's what they're singing on the bus. And but this is what the Satanists are singing while they're singing, while those Kool-Aid drinkers are singing that on the bus, while they're singing to Mariah Carey's song. This is what the Satanists, this is what the puppet masters are really singing. Showed them to take a busload of people down to a Christmas tree lighting. Not prayer, not a Bible study, not to talk to them about the end times, not to talk to them about the soon arriving Antichrist. No, to get them more deeply embedded in paganism. More deeply embedded. Folks, we're in the last days. We are in the last days. And come January 1st, come January the 8th, come January the 15th, and the 22nd, and the 29th, and so forth and so on, this is what's going to go on in black churches every single Sunday. We have jackass bishops in the pulpit turning their members into jackass members. Get the book. Go to paganbishops.com. Go to paganbishops.com. Order your copy of Jackass Bishops. Order your copy of Jackass Bishops and give it to a bishop like Juanita Bynum. Give it to a bishop like this guy, Clarence Langston. If you know some hee-hawing, stupid, asinine, mentally retarded bishop who is leading his people further away from Christ and more into the worship of Lucifer, where people are just saying, amen, Lucifer is God, amen. Get them a copy of Jackass Bishops. It is a book that will open their eyes. Go to paganbishops.com. Order your PDF copy. I'm going to be back tomorrow. I'm going to talk tomorrow about the next book, Draconian Tsunami, which is due out February the 1st. Let's do our best to tell everybody we can about Jackass Bishops. But I already have to start talking about the next book and what that entails. So I'll be back tomorrow. I love you in the Lord. Don't lose heart. Do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Love you in the Lord. Pray my strength. I'm praying yours. Keep the emails coming. Keep sending me your emails. And let's keep fellowshipping. I love you in the Lord. God bless.